I'm a part of the body, and you are too. And to be able to worship together and honor the Lord. And we have so much to thank God for and to honor him for, to recognize the greatness of God this morning is good. It was in the song and recognizing my need to submit to the greatness of God. And you can turn with me this morning to Malachi chapter 1. And I'm going to be sharing from there some thoughts and trust that God will lead us as we go through that. I titled the message this morning, Blemished Sacrifices. Recognizing again this morning, I think that one of the biggest things that we are called to as God's children is to recognize the greatness of God, to not forget the greatness of God, how great God is, and what he has done for you and me. We can go through the humdrum of life and we can lose sight of and we can forget about the greatness of God. And after a while, we just start to do things. And it's not really out of a heart of understanding the greatness of God and wanting to exalt him, wanting to worship him, wanting to bring sacrifice to him that is pure and holy and good before God, that he can receive it. Yesterday, I was in the living room there, and I glanced out the window, and out the end of our driveway, there was something shiny. And as I paused momentarily to pull the blind back a little bit to see what it was, and it began to walk. And here it was, a turtle. And for those of you who know that we live on top of this, was a water turtle on top of the hill, away from the creek. I do not know why he was there, what he was doing there, but I quickly went out the door. I told Karen, I said, there's a turtle out there. I ran out to the end of the driveway because by that time he was out on the road. And I grabbed the turtle. And so at this point, when I picked up the turtle, I looked at it and, you know, I have a choice. I can either make turtle stew or I can take him down to the creek. It would have been a very small stew because it was only that big. But I took the turtle, I put it in my pickup and drove down to the creek there and walked down to the bank and set him on the bank there. And he ran into the water and dove in and he turned around and came back up and he looked at me. And I said, you're welcome. And he dove under and swam off really fast. You know, just and I thought about how that all of us here this morning that have been born again have been placed, we have been saved, we have been lifted out of this mucky, muddy, dirty world and put into something fresh. And that's all by the choice of our loving God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God the Father, he is awesome. The greatness of our God knows no bounds. It knows no bounds. He chose you. You didn't choose him. See, we need to get that this morning. He chose us. Wretched. Undone. I chose to put the turtle back into the creek where it belonged. The turtle didn't choose me, you see. And if we don't get a hold of, if we don't understand, if we don't comprehend, and if we don't embrace it in our hearts, the greatness of God and what we owe him is so incredible. And once we get a hold of the greatness of God, then it's going to affect how our sacrifices look. And let's read. Malachi chapter 1. Verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts that may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. And I want you to catch something. I was going to say at the beginning here, notice how often in these 14 verses, the phrase is used, thus says the Lord of hosts. And let's read on in verse 5. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then am the father,
where is my honor? And if I am master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to you, to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there, even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept the offering from your hands. From the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered in my name, a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick, and thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. God expects our sacrifice this morning to be sacrifices that are not lame, blind, or stolen, or sick of those kinds of things, but that our sacrifice to him, our worship of him, our honor of him is truly from the heart. We see the story in the beginning of the Bible with Cain and Abel, where Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices before God. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He didn't accept Cain's because there was supposed to be a sacrifice of blood. Cain, in whatever reasoning in his own mind, decided he could do it his way. And it was not received. His vegetables were not received. Little humor, just a case in point, that's vegetables without meat, it just doesn't work. So anyway, so here we have this. We have this account here where the offering, the sacrifice, was received that was right, but the one that wasn't was not. And so my question to you this morning is, do you understand the greatness of God? And does it cause you to bring your sacrifice that is pure, clean, and holy before God? And then my question, then you're sitting here thinking, well, what are the sacrifices that I bring in? Boy, did I wrestle with that. This it was difficult for me to conclude. Even at 7 o'clock last night, I told Karen, I'm going to go take a shower. Something's going to work. I don't know how, but what are the sacrifices that we bring today? And I'm not talking about, we always think finances. And in Romans 12:1, it says that our bodies are a living sacrifice. Our bodies are a living sacrifice. In Hebrews 10:18-22, in that scriptures there, it says that we are to come to the Holy of Holies, having our hearts sprinkled and our bodies washed. Do not enter the Holy of Holies if you have not washed in the blood of Jesus and expect God to receive your sacrifice. So there was a perfect sacrifice that was made for you and I, which we have, and that was the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. And it is on that basis that we are able to come to God. And then out of that, we live a life of service to him. And so in our acts of service, I believe our acts of sacrifice or acts of worship, obedience is worship, is an act of worship and a sacrifice that I believe we are called to give to God Almighty. And just recognizing again that we need to understand and honor and respect the awesomeness, the greatness of God. A number of years ago, I was installing barn fans in a dairy barn, the fans to draw the air through the barn. And what they had was, there was in the upstairs of the barn, there was an opening in the floor and the fans were in the end of the wall. And you might remember me, I may have told this story before, but from a different context. So I had to step across onto the beam and work on the fans, and directly beneath me, there was this most majestic bull that I have ever laid eyes on. 2,000 pounds of snorting, ripping, pawing bull. And I'm standing there across this board, teetering back and forth as I'm working. I'm like, if I make one slip, he's down there pawing manure and dirt up over his back, and the only way they can do it. Just, I knew that if I were to fall down there, I would be crushed in an instant. Because he had the ability to do that. He was awesome and majestic, but not once did I consider bowing down before him and worshiping him. We serve an awesome God. See, God, as much as that bull was able to snuff out my physical life, God is able to snuff out our life completely. To not only the life, but our soul. Do we have respect? I finally asked the farmer if he would consider moving the bull, because I was very uncomfortable. I was not intending to fall down, but if I would, my chances would be a lot less with him there. But I ask you this morning, do you grasp, do you get a hold of the awesomeness, the greatness of God this morning? It should cause us to worship. It should cause us to sacrifice. Pure sacrifice. It should cause us to lift up his name. It should cause us to want to do the things that he calls us to in the scriptures, in the word. And I recognize again this morning that as we bring sacrifices, as we give our lives, as we give ourselves, as we give of our time, as we minister to the widows, as we minister to the orphans, as we do all the things that James there says, this is pure and undefiled religion, is to visit the widows, the orphans, the sick, those kind of things. Do we do it as a sacrifice to the Lord? Or do we do it grudgingly? Well, I will if I can. What happens when a prayer chain goes around and they're asking for food for someone who is sick or for a widow or for an orphan? What happens? Where are you at? What is your thought? Well, it doesn't fit my schedule today. That may be, but you know that sacrifice, if it doesn't cost you something, is not really sacrifice. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about time, whatever it might be that you can think of. Sacrifice costs something. And we'll look at a scripture a little bit later on with where David spoke about that. And so we pattern our lives, we pack them full, we are so busy doing this, that, and the other thing, even things that we think are good, we pack our lives with it, and we count it as a sacrifice to the Lord. And I want you to know this morning that God doesn't accept every sacrifice. I'm going to read a scripture in Amos here quickly, and you don't need to turn to it if I can find it here. Amos 5, verse 21 through 24 says this, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fatted peace offerings. Take away from the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. And in James, we have the account where, or I think it was James, where you don't have, because why? Because you ask amiss. Does God always bless everything that we ask for or do? Does God always bless our sacrifice? If we're doing it amiss, then it says that he doesn't. So something to consider this morning, again, that as we recognize that as we do the things that we do, whatever they are, and you can name them. I'm not going to stand here and name them all for you, but recognizing that the things that we do need to come out of a heart of understanding the greatness of God. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? It should all be for the honor and glory of God. Everything. Everything that I do. The job that I work at. My children. My family. My community. My church. Everything should be out of a heart of understanding the greatness of God and worshiping Him and recognizing that. I hope that you don't come to church on a Sunday morning to be entertained. You say, what does this have to do with anything? Again, back to why do you come? Why do you come to church? Is it to be entertained? If the sermon doesn't, if the Sunday school doesn't meet something exciting within me, I'm not going to participate. If the worship time, if the songs or something I don't agree with, or I can't, you don't even have to disagree with them. They're just songs I'm just not into. I can't get excited. I can't get excited. So the sermon, if I preach it this morning, is it about entertaining you? If I entertain you well enough, will you feel like you have gone away from here filled to a certain extent? I'm just asking the question. What is the reason? What is the purpose? Why do you come to church on a Sunday morning? Why do you serve on a committee? Why do you serve on a committee? Is it just to fill some kind of need or what? Or is it that you really understand the greatness of God and you understand what He has done for you and you want to serve Him, you want to worship Him, you want to honor Him with all your being, with all your body? And you came in these doors this morning, that will make a difference as to how the worship time is for you. Not for everyone around you, for you. And it comes back to, again, if we're going to change, it starts with me. It starts with me. Do I honor and glorify God? Or am I looking to? In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, the purpose of us being together is to edify one another. Do you come in the morning recognizing that you're a child of God, you're a part of the family of God, and your desire this morning is to edify someone else, to encourage someone else, to lift someone else up? That's a pure sacrifice. That's a pure sacrifice because it takes your time. It takes your time to stop and to talk to someone, to listen to them, to care for them. That takes time. It's a sacrifice. How are we doing? How are we doing? So this here scripture starts out in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. So he starts out by assuring them that he has loved them. And then their response to them is this. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? In what way have you loved us? And then God could have went on and he could have said, well, I gave you food, I gave you clothing, I gave you all this and that, and I led you through the wilderness, and I made you a people, and I did all these great things. You know what he did? He says, he points out this. He said, was not Esau Jacob's brother? And Esau had as much opportunity to be chosen by God as what Jacob did. But God chose Jacob. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And he chose Israel over Edom. And so he goes back to, he doesn't point out, by loving us, he doesn't point out all the good things he has done for us, but that he has chosen us. He has chosen you. He has chosen me. And that should be enough to worship him with all my being, to give the sacrifices, the best that I have. Not the lame, not the blind, not the leftover, but to give him the best of the sacrifice that I can give to him. That's what he wants. And because he loves us and he has chosen us. Not for what we get out of it, Those are the blessings. Those are the blessings. But he has chosen us. That should be enough. And it goes on in verse 6, and it says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. That if then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And again, to all of us who have been born again this morning, we are priests. We are. And we are given gifts, we are given talents, we are given all the things that we have is given by God, and we are to offer it back as a sacrifice to the Lord and to be used to his honor and to his glory. He didn't say, I've forgave you, I cared for you, I've been patient with you and all these things. It was what he provided by his love for us. His love for us. God chose me, not the other way around. The Lord of hosts. He points out his majesty. He points out his bigness, his godliness, his just, he's to be revered. And they were despising his name. As I read this scripture, and we can read on, it says in verse 7, you offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. And this caught my attention. Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. If you were to offer what was left, if in your wildest imaginations, President Biden would come to your house for lunch this Sunday or next Sunday. We're going to have a meal here today, but so next Sunday, President Biden comes to your house for lunch. How would you greet him at the door? Would you be in a pair of shorts and t-shirt? Would you have set out some leftovers, a little bit of macaroni and cheese and broccoli and some stuff that maybe that's in our fridge right now? But would you have set that stuff out? I mean, I'm good with it. I'm okay. I'm glad to have leftovers and eat them. But you wouldn't set them out for your guest. You wouldn't set them out for the governor. Why do we set them out for God? Why do I set out leftover broccoli for God? Why am I not giving him the best? Why am I not in my freezer? Why didn't I go to Sammy's Meats and get a prime ribeye steak and grill it for him? Am I giving the best? Is my sacrifice the best that I have for God? Or am I just mediocre, going through life, not excited, bored? It says that as we go on in the scripture here, that they became bored. In verse 10, it goes on in verse 9, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. And what he's asking is that isn't there somebody that will shut the doors of the tabernacle so that people stop sacrificing things that are not pure and that there's no fire lit under the altar? Would somebody please shut the door? And I find this amusing as I read that scripture, and I found that what the people were doing is they were sacrificing, but it was not their best. And in other words, the sacrifice that was made with the lamb was that it was to be pure. It was to be without blemish. It was a representation of the coming of Jesus Christ and God sending his son as a sacrifice for you and I. And what they were doing was defiling the whole idea of a pure, spotless sacrifice. Would not somebody shut the doors that these people stop doing this? And I wondered if today, if there are times that God says, would somebody please shut the door? Because the sacrifices that are being made to me, they're not pure. They're lame. They're blind. Would somebody shut the church door so that it doesn't happen anymore? And I ask you this morning, are you giving God your best? Or is it lame? Is it blind? Is it left over? Are you giving God your best? The result of not worshiping the greatness of God was that they brought these sheep. They brought these sheep that were lame, they were blind, they were stolen, they were diseased. They didn't recognize the greatness of God. And it was out of that that they brought these careless worships, these careless acts of worship. So how does careless worship come about? It's when we lose sight of God and we become attracted to the world. We become attracted to the world. God becomes boring. The world becomes exciting. Then we will bring blemished sacrifices to the altar. One of the other things that stood out to me in this scripture as I read was that they were going through the motions of religious activity. They were going through the motions of religious activity. They were sacrificing. It wasn't honoring to God, but they were sacrificing. They were doing it. They were getting together. They were bringing their stuff to the priest. The priests were offering it on the altar. There was religious activity that was happening. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't what God wanted. And I ask this morning, as a church, you as a person, as a part of the church, are you bringing a sacrifice? Are you bringing a sacrifice that is to the honor and glory of God? Or are you just busy doing religious activities? Do you come to prayer meeting because it's a passion of your heart to honor and glorify God and to pray together? Do you come to church on a Sunday morning and teach Sunday school because it's a passion for the greatness of God that you have and you're going to offer yourself, you're going to give your time on Saturday to study, to teach Sunday school? Are you coming this morning with a sacrifice of you're going to make a meal for that widow or that orphan or that needy person, the sick person? I'm going to make it. It's a sacrifice. I don't have time today, but I will do it because I love my God. The greatness of God, the goodness of God, the bigness of God. True worship comes from a heart that recognizes the value of God over oneself. The value of God over oneself. It's not in professionalism. It's not in emotionalism. It's not in laid-back spirituality, if you will. It's in full commitment that we bring our sacrifice that is an honor to God. Reading on in verse 11, it says, "For from the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered in my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You say also, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick, and thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? And I thought about this here, sneering at it and becoming weary. Oh, what a weariness it is to serve God. It takes so much of my time. It takes too much of my finances. It takes too much of my family or whatever it might be. It's a weariness. Where's the passion? Where is my heart? Does my heart truly recognize the greatness of God that will lay aside? And it's not a weariness. It's a joy. It's a joy to serve the Lord that way. In verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver who has his flock, a male, and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. And I think all of us here this morning have a sacrifice that we can give that is pure, it's holy, it's just, it's good. Are we giving him the best? Or are we giving him what's left over? I was looking at some, there was a clip on YouTube on Francis Chan had preached a message on this chapter, and there was a portion of it where he had with him roasted chicken leg. He took it out of the bag and he held it up and he said, well, you know, he said, we need clothing. And he took a bite. We need gasoline. He took another bite. We need sports. And he took another bite. And I forget all the exactly what all it was till it was finally down to the bone. And he said, here, Lord, this is yours. It really spoke to my heart. And I hope this morning that you're challenged again with, am I giving God the best? Am I giving him the leftover? Am I giving him the bone after I've taken everything off of it that I want, that I need? Or does it cost something? We have this story of David. In 2 Samuel 24:24, David was trying to avert a plague that had happened. And he needed a place to build an altar to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And the threshing floor of Araunah was the right place, and he offered to buy it from Araunah. And Araunah said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. He said, I will give it to you. He said, in fact, I'll give you the oxen that to I'll give you the stones to build the altar. I'll give you the wood to put on the altar. And he said, I'll give you the oxen. I'll give it to you. And David said, and I David said this, no, but I will buy it of you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. Would to God that that would be our position, the place that we would take this morning, that in our sacrifices, that if it's going to cost us something, then you won't find me doing it. If it's going to cost me something, I'll do it, but if it don't cost me anything, if it don't take any of my time, if it doesn't take away from what I want to do, is your service this morning less than you would offer? Is your service to God less than what you would offer to a human being? Is your service less to God than what you would offer to a human being? I ask you this morning, is God answering your prayers? Is God answering your prayers this morning? If he's not, why not? Are you giving him leftovers? Asking him to answer your prayers, but giving him leftovers? Are you playing church? The priests were going through the motions. They weren't following the law of God. They weren't looking to his word. They weren't abiding by his word. They were doing it their way. Are we playing church? Are you bored with worship and Christian service? Are you bored with it? How do you find yourself this morning? Are you giving the best? Is your passion in life to promote God's glory among the nations, as he says here in the last verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations.
I hope that you're not coming to church to be entertained. I hope this morning my prayer is that you're coming because you have a passion for the greatness of God. Amen? And to his honor and to his glory, we'll do the things that we do. We live in an interesting time. We live in a time of an individualistic society where we're saying, I don't need you. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. You need the church. And it is there together that as we give sacrifices and honor to God, we're not here to entertain you. We're here to assist you in your worship, not to entertain you. And I trust this morning that as you listen to the Sunday school, as you participate in worship, as you listen to the preaching, out of it, give your all. Give your best to the honor and glory of God. Give it your best, because that's what he wants from you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word. I pray that you would direct our thoughts and our hearts and our minds in relation to this scripture. And I pray against the enemy being able to use it contrary to the context in which it was written. Father, that you might receive the honor, that you might receive the glory. Lord, that as we go from this place, we would go with a renewed passion to recognize your greatness and that our sacrifices would not be blemished, but that they would reflect what your word is and would reflect you and would reflect the passions of our heart to honor and glorify you. So, Father, we give this message to you and pray that you will use it to your honor and to your glory. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity this morning to fellowship together around food. And I pray, Lord, that as we dismiss from here now, as the food has been prepared, is ready to eat, Lord, I pray that you would bless it, that you would cleanse it, you would purify it, Lord, that our fellowship and our conversation would be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to lead us in the closing song.
I have to think while Luke was speaking this morning. Are you all back there? I think while Luke was speaking this morning, he said, Lord, was speaking about sacrifices, and my mind was drawn to the verse in Psalm 51, I think it's verse 16 or 17, something like that.